It's a good morning. I'm not saying good morning. It's a good morning. It's a great morning. It's a fabulous morning. Well, we're so glad you're with us here. There was a word that I think you know how the Spirit is. He says many things a lot of different ways. But release, release, release. Release all that you think I am. Meet me here in your love. I'm more than you have made me. Let my joy flow. Let my love consume. And this could be for a lot of us. Stop worrying about doing it right. Stop worrying about doing it right. Man, he just wants you to be, not do. Just be. And in this house, you can be free to be you. Amen. Stop worrying about doing it right. Just come as you are and you will be free just as you are and nothing more. Nothing more. We don't need performances. We don't need masks. Just real. Amen. Just real hunger, real thirst, real desire to be all that he's created us to be. Now, how many of you know we're not all there yet? We're on a journey. But it's rest, y'all. It's not striving. We don't strive. We don't struggle. We just awaken and open to understanding. And higher we become, stronger we become, freer we become. Not caught up in religion, but caught up by his Spirit. I want more of his Spirit to be flowing through and out of me. It's all in there. It's to become aware. Everything is about our awareness, y'all. It's all about what you are aware of, what you're conscious of. You can't have more of God because all of God is in you. It's how much are we aware of him being in us? How much are we aware of what he's saying? I'm not preaching today, so I need to stop. But there was a word that somebody here is having a lot of pain all around their midsection. I don't know, if in the stomach, in the back, in the side. It was a word that was given. If that's you and you would like prayer, please stand because he revealed it so that you could be healed. So if there's anyone here, is that Susan? Okay, Stacy, why don't you come and lay hands on Susan? We're going to just release kingdom healing. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, Susan, we command every bit of pain to leave your body right now. It is trespassing on your body. It has no right. For by his stripes, you are healed. We command every organ in her body to function correctly. The pancreas, the gallbladder, her intestines, every function of this body to begin to function correctly in the name of Jesus. Every system of this body to function in the name of Jesus. And we command all of the pain that is associated with anything trying to go on to leave her now. You have no right. Father, I thank you that Jesus came and gave us his full power, his full authority on the inside of us to release kingdom, to release heaven on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There is no midsection or back pain or stomach pain in heaven. So we release kingdom and heaven on earth into Susan's earth, into her body right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you gave the word that she could be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the ushers prepare to come, I just want to remind everybody there is four ways to give. And online, we do have our QR code there. You can scan it. It'll bring up Tithely, and you can give online that way. You can give by cash or check in the offering today. There are envelopes right in front of you. And if you would like to use the envelope for cash or check, as we get ready for that, I will give these announcements and pray over offering. Intercessory prayer is here from 9:30 to 9:45 every Sunday morning. Road trip with Jesus. Pastor's continuing on with road trip with Jesus this morning. And we do have all of our announcements on Facebook and on our website, arisechurch.cc, if you're interested in going there. So, Father, I thank you for this offering. I thank you for the givers. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are everything that we need and is in you. I thank you for the givers. I thank you that your people would be blessed in every way, in joy and peace and hope and life and finances, in their workplaces, in their relationships. Lord, we want it all because you paid for it all, Jesus. I want it all. I want every good gift that you have for me to be able to walk in full abundance for the world to see your goodness and your grace. We thank you. We thank you for this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Hey, kids, you can go to Children's Church. We release you, Karen, to go to the nursery. You know, that way I can talk about her after she leaves. Bye, darling. Wah, wah, wah. That's all I hear. Good morning, everybody. Man, once again, we are loaded up on the right and low on the left. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 10. I got a lot of stuff to say today. Is that all right? I feel like I didn't preach for a couple weeks. So that means I can preach twice today. So good thing y'all came to church. Amen. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. We'll get there in just a second. Because I'm going to start in Psalms 25. Because on the road, right? Does anybody else hear Waylon Jennings when you hear that, you know, on the road? You hear you know, I had this theory that Waylon Jennings and Snoop Dogg, not Waylon Jennings. It's not Waylon. Thanks. It's his buddy. It's his drinking buddy, Willie Nelson. I had this theory that Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg are the same person. They just in different flavors. Because you never see them in the same room together, but they're a whole lot alike. You guys, anyway. You ever seen Snoop Dogg, that little reel, the little video with Snoop Dogg, and he's narrating the lizard running away from all those snakes? Oh, my God. You people are so... Y'all need to stay in more. Psalms 24, because when you think about getting on the road with Jesus, following Jesus, you know, because that's something that he said to a lot of people, right? He walked right up to Matthew, a person everybody hated in the city, and said, follow me. You would have think he'd have picked somebody more popular than Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector. I mean, he wouldn't even really be popular in our culture, right? I mean... If any of you work for the IRS or you have family that work for the IRS, God bless you. But he asked Matthew to follow him. And Matthew was, because he worked with Rome, everybody hated him. He was probably on somebody's list to kill. But Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew dropped everything that he was doing and followed him. And we're following Jesus, right? I mean, because when you're on the road with Jesus, you're following Jesus. So here we go. David's has written this psalm, or it's attributed to him anyway. And it says this, I'm starting in verse 4. It says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me in your paths and lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. According to your love, remember me. Have you ever thought about what God thinks about when he thinks about you? Does he think about the sin that we had in our life? I wonder if even before we repented and asked for forgiveness and believed in Jesus, what he did on the cross was way more than enough to reunite us back with a loving Father. I bet you, before you ever said, I believe, he said, I love you. And when he thought of you, he thought of his love, not the sin in your life. He didn't clean you up just to clean you up. He cleaned us up because he wanted to remind us that we were in him since before the world began. If I say random things today, it's because there's a lot of random stuff going on in my head, which is not unusual. So I saw this statistic. It's a useless statistic, but it's still a fun statistic. That anywhere we look at, off into space from the planet that you and I live on, the farthest we can see, I guess with a telescope, because I can't see this far, is 46 and a half billion miles. They estimate that it takes the star the farthest away from Earth, that it takes that star's the light reflected off that star, or if it's like our sun, if it shines back to us, it takes 13.7 billion years to reach us. I don't know, but I like thinking about that. Because you know why? Because before 7 billion years ago, God always was. He always is. He always will be. That's not stated in the Bible like that. That's like 1 Timothy 3:1. But he doesn't have a beginning. So in the story of creation, when he steps out into this portion of the universe and he says, let there be light. Can you imagine? Was in that moment in our universe, did stars 13.8 billion years from now all of a sudden light up? I mean, was God sitting in darkness before? I want you to contemplate this, because this is the person that's totally in love with you. This is the being that loves you more than anyone else. Loves you more than your spouse does. My spouse loves me. We celebrated, 43 years this July? That poor woman. You know, every time I think about getting on the road, I think about a trip that we took back in, I want to say it was 1991. Not sure. Because you'll see why I don't want to remember when it was. But Karen had gone off on a night to a choir thing on the other side of Louisiana, and I was home by myself. And my kids were probably at my mother's, Cody and Kayla. Keegan wasn't here yet, and so I'm home alone watching VHS, the videotape of Lonesome Dove, Gus. McCray and all the wonderful people in that story. And they had a lot of storms over there. And, of course, this was before we had mobile phones, so I couldn't get in touch with her. And I'm thinking, surely they're finishing up on that at the singing at that church and then coming back because there were tornadoes coming in over there, you know? No, they were sitting at a restaurant till like 1 in the morning in Shreveport eating butter beans. But she got home, and so we had words. You can imagine, right? Here I am worried, sick to death. But you know, I'd had an epiphany. I had one. I couldn't have spelt it. I can't spell it now. Didn't know what it was then. But I had this thought before she got home. If something had happened to Karen that night, would I care that I couldn't get in touch with her? Would I care or be aggravated about all the things that she aggravates me about in life? They're fewer than what I aggravate her, believe me. And it just wiped away. Because see, this is the thing. When you're on the road, your road changes. There's things, new things that come to you. There are new experiences that you have on the road. So the next day, we're packed up. It was already planned. We're going to go see some friends of ours in Oklahoma City. And the fastest way from North Louisiana to Oklahoma City is to go over to Dallas and take the toll road and go all the way up, and you're there. You know, it's just like it's like an under 7 hour shot. But Tommy didn't want to do that because, see, Karen and I were putting our marriage back together again because I had been unfaithful. And she had prayed me back in. In fact, when she was praying for me, God reminded me of this while we were singing, worshiping. A lady came up to her in church and said, "Don't worry, Tommy's going to come back and God's going to restore him because God still says he's my boy." And I was not acting like I was God's boy at the time. I used to go to church on Sunday nights, put my fingers in my ear, lean up on my knees, you know, so I'm kind of like this, looking like I was attentive to the guy that was preaching. I didn't want to hear what he had to say, but he turned bright red when he preached, and he shouted a lot. So it was kind of like watching TV with the volume off. You guys ever done that? No. Y'all need to stay in more. So anyway, that's something to me that really hit me today, that God said that while I was as lost and more lost than I've ever been in my whole life, he says that I'm still his boy. So next day we're packed up, we're going up there, and see, her husband, our friend's husband, had been unfaithful, and I had been unfaithful two years before, and so we were kind of working things out, and she had just discovered this about 2 months ago with her husband in Oklahoma City, okay? Back in 91? Yeah, let's try to stick it with the same year, even though I'm not sure if that's the right year or not. You don't know either, so it doesn't matter. So I didn't want to get there. Because I figured, you know, what's worse than one wife reminding her husband of what he had done wrong? Two wives reminding their husbands of what they had done wrong at the same time. You got to see the humor in this. You really do. So I had the bright idea, because I had watched Lonesome Dove, I wanted to go on an adventure. So I thought that'd be great. My brother told me once never to take Highway 7 through Arkansas because you'll meet yourself several times. And I thought, that's great. Let's take Highway 7 to Oklahoma City. It doesn't go to Oklahoma City, but I figured wherever it came out, we'd figure out where to go then too. We had one of those ginormous atlases, you know, where you could look up, you know, and you could draw it out. And Karen had it. She's supposed to tell me directions, but she's mad at me, so she's not giving me any directions. And she's especially mad at me because I decided to take Highway 7. When I went north instead of west, it was... it was not a fun trip. I was having a blast. It was on a road I'd never seen before. It was things I'd never looked at before. But I came into trouble, and some of you have heard this part, but I came into trouble when Cody chimed up thank you, son, chimed up and said, I think we've seen the statue of that Native American there several times, Dad. We were in Caddo Gap, and we had seen it, and I knew that we had seen it at least four times, and I'm thinking it was probably eight if it took me, if I thought it was four times, because whatever I was doing, I just kept redoing it wrong. You ever get in a loop of doing dumb things, and, you know, it just... So we finally got out of Caddo Gap, and then I saw a sign to Little Missouri Falls. And I thought, this is great. Let's take this adventure. And I go drive. We go driving down there, and it took about an hour to get off the road because, you know, it's just like the paved roads here, but it was a gravel, and it was way back in there. We went hiking up the creek. It was neat until Kayla fell and punctured her leg on a rock, and I took my white tube socks off because I had cut off jeans on. Well, I don't know if you want to picture this or not, but I'd cut off jeans on those white tube socks, you know, up to my knees, because that's what men did back in those days, right? So I took one of them off, and I tied it around her leg, and we go find a Walmart, and the closest one that they told us was in Mena, Arkansas, which was like an hour away. We finally get on the road, and the sun's starting to set. It's July, so that means it's like 8 o'clock. And we still got 4 hours to go to get to Oklahoma City. I think we went through like hyperspace or something because we got there pretty quick. We were inside. We're all in there laughing and stuff. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. And Karen said, hey, I need you to go get the bags out of the car. I need my brush. We were going to go eat somewhere or something. And opened the trunk, y'all. And there was no luggage in the trunk. My first thought was, Tommy Lee, you idiot, you left the suitcases on the bed after you've driven your wife 14 hours to get to a 6.5 hour spot. I shut that trunk and thought, this is how people go homeless, because they're dumb, because they do dumb things to their wives. And I shut that trunk and I thought, I'm just going to turn and walk out this driveway and I'm just going to get lost in Oklahoma City and I ain't never coming back because I don't ever want to face this. You do dumb things. I was like, how old was I then? I was 28. 28? I was 29. I was 29 years old. Dumb as a stick. And so I go back inside and I try to explain to her what, you know, because she's just going to kill me. I figure it's as good a time to die as any. I'm 29, you know, middle age. It's how I felt like it at that time. And she said, I forgot to tell you, Cody brought all the luggage in. So that would have been good to tell me that before. Because I probably shortened my life. You know, when you're on the road, it's good to think about where you want to go, right? Kind of have a map. It's fun just to get lost, too. It really is, especially these days, because as long as you got a signal, you can always find your way home. Do you know there's a signal inside of you? There's a God positioning service inside of you. No matter where you go, he's already there. And no matter how far you get off the trail, he can always bring you back. You guys okay? So Mark chapter 10, starting verse 46. It's a short little story. I'll be done by 11:30, I promise. I'm not saying it'll be 11:30 today, but I'll be done. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, which is funny because they just said he came to Jericho, right? Right? Well, it's because they had an old one and a new one, and you come out of the old one into the new one, or you come out of the new one into the old one. Anyway, they were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember me in your love." Man. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and he said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. I just love this story. For one, it's sitting in Jericho. You cannot think of Jericho. I can't ever think of Jericho without thinking of Rahab. I just can't. I mean, this woman was so smart that she hid the spies, remember? And she saved her family because she put a red line down the wall where she was at. And she was spared, and her family was spared. You know some of the Jewish midrashes about that story, about the story of Jericho? They have Rahab as one of the most beautiful women ever that lived there in her time. And they say that her customers, say it like that, that's a nice way to say it, her customers were some of the most influential and powerful people of her day. Now that's funny that they would write that about her later, but they did. So Jesus enters Jericho, a city that had been cursed. I know Christians that wouldn't go to a cursed city for nothing. You couldn't pay them to go there. Isn't that funny? I figure if the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, you can go anywhere, right? Some places you might need to wear Kevlar, but you can go. But Jesus walked in there, and we don't know if this was the same time when he met Zacchaeus, because that'd be cool if he met Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus at the same time, the same trip, right? Because he went to Jericho often. It was on the way between Jerusalem and Nazareth, or Capernaum, rather. But he goes in there, and all these people are following. But you know, there's a difference between people that walk in the same direction that Jesus is going in. There's a difference between watching Jesus to see what he's going to do and wanting to have an encounter with him. There's a huge difference between Bartimaeus and the people following. And this story, one of the things I love about it the most is it just shows you how weird people are. Not us. No. Other people, right? Exactly, John. But they tell Bartimaeus to shut up. I don't know if there's another place in the Bible, in the Gospels, that the people are telling somebody who needs Jesus to shut up. Well, I take that back. There were the disciples that told Jesus, "Hey, do something about this woman because she won't be quiet." Remember? And Jesus, she had an encounter with Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus found more faith in a Gentile woman than he found in the whole nation of Israel. Goodness. But you know, these people, they were just telling Bartimaeus to shut up because Bartimaeus was not one of them. They must have been the in crowd following Jesus that day. They must have been the people that other people looked at and they thought, well, you know, other people are following Jesus. Let's go follow Jesus. You know, we don't really know about Jesus. He's done things. Maybe he'll do something. Maybe he'll do a miracle. But the guy who needs a miracle, he's crying out for Jesus, and you're telling him to shut up. And then Jesus says, bring him here. And they all like, oh, Bartimaeus, my buddy, come on, man. Come on, Jesus wants to talk to you. People are the weirdest things on this planet. I promise you random stuff. So here goes one. Saw this reel this week. My wife showed it to me. Odd. This guy's bringing bananas over to these monkeys, and he's walking over this creek, or, you know, this little piece of water, and this, let's say it's an orangutan. I don't know. I don't remember the species of monkey it was, but it came out, and it took some bananas from the man and turned to walk away, and the man held his hand out, and the monkey shook his hand and fived him. I thought, that monkey's friendlier than some people. Friendlier than I am sometimes. People are strange. Not you guys. Don't go home and say, Pastor Tommy said we're all strange. The people in this story on this street, I don't know. Every time I read it, I always want to sit them down and have a come to Jesus meeting. I mean, why are you following Jesus for? If you see someone less than that has less than you or doesn't have the capabilities that you have and you push them away from Jesus, why are you following Jesus? I didn't even plan that. That was good. I wish I could. I can't plan that, Mary, because I don't plan. You can ask Brother Jason over at First Baptist Church. He'll tell you, Tommy doesn't plan. I used to plan, but I plan not to plan now. So, they're just following him, but for why? Why are they on the road with Jesus? And the disciples, they're not even mentioned in here. None of them are mentioned by name. Peter's got nothing to say. How do we have a story with Peter but without saying something? I don't understand it. None of them are even mentioned by name in here. Mark doesn't tell us who was there with him. But Jesus calls him over there and he asks him these words that are so pointed and direct. And probably made everybody that had been following Jesus, that had told Bartimaeus to shut up, stop and think. Because Jesus looked at Bartimaeus, a man who didn't come to watch, a man who came to see. And he said, I want to see again. Jesus said, go. Your faith has made you whole. He's made you well. Because you believe that I could. I did. Did you know that Isaiah said that only the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind? And still there were no Pharisees, there were no rabbis here in this story that said, oh my gosh, we just saw Isaiah's prophecy come to fruition. We just saw it come. None of them said that. Even though there were lots of rich priestly people living in Jericho because it was a resort city at this time. Herod had made it beautiful again. He had a palace there. People loved to go there. It was a huge place of commerce. It was an oasis in the middle of, almost the middle of the desert. Jesus had gone there, a cursed city, and he brought restoration back where another generation had cursed. He brought restoration back where Joshua stood there and said, no one will ever build this city again. Wouldn't it have been cool if Joshua said, one day the Messiah is going to walk through these gates after they're rebuilt. And there's going to be a blind man sitting right there named Bartimaeus by his father Timaeus, who was probably also blind, because in Matthew, both men received their sight back. But here, that day, Jesus is going to stop in the middle of having people follow him for absolutely no reason. And he's going to give one person that encounter that they're looking for, that they're hungry for, that they're thirsty for, that they're willing to push in for, that they won't shut up for, that they will not stop. Jesus is asking us today, what do you want me to do for you? And it's up to us to say, I want you to work in my life. I want everything you have for me. I want to walk this path with you. I don't care where we go. I don't care what we do, but I just want to be with you in your presence, God. I told y'all it was my favorite story. Just some quick observations. Is that okay? I said this already, but Jesus brought blessing and restoration to a place that had been previously cursed. I know there's a lot of teaching on generational curses. I don't see the theology behind them, because Corinthians says that in Christ we're new creatures, that we've been set free. In fact, sometime some of the writings of Paul makes you almost think that you were in Jesus the whole time. But Jesus brought, he wasn't there on accident. And although there was a big Jewish community living in Jericho, and there were Gentiles that lived in Jericho. There were Samaritans that lived in Jericho. Romans, people from all over the Roman Empire. And the people following Jesus saw Bartimaeus as someone who was stopping Jesus from doing what they thought he should be doing. I guess they were just wanting him to turn around and teach something nice. And for some reason, I have this scripture in this observation, and I'm not really sure why, but here goes. It's found in Luke 6. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. They're following Jesus, but they're seeing people who need Jesus as less than human. Less than them. Number two, Bartimaeus, although he was blind, he saw Jesus more clearly than anybody else there. No one else on the street was saying, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David. No one else was calling out for mercy but Bartimaeus. In a city that size, it would probably dwarf Jerusalem at the time. Bartimaeus asked for mercy, which is a goal when people are under judgment. Jesus gave Bartimaeus not mercy, rather he restored him, and it speaks to the grace. He gave him the grace to see out of his eyes, even though spiritually Bartimaeus wasn't blind. The people following Jesus were blind. Bartimaeus left his cloak that had been spread around him to catch the coins. He left his cloak because that was his income. He couldn't work. He had to beg. But now with his eyes, he could grow. He could farm. He could do whatever. We don't know how old he is here. His father was still alive, so he couldn't have been too old. It changed his entire life because he had an encounter with Jesus, because he was willing to press in when people were telling him, yo, you go back. You're not the kind of person that we want to come in here and find Jesus. What if Jesus only went to Jericho because he was looking for Bartimaeus? I mean, he went to Sidon to look for a woman who had a daughter with a demon. And she wasn't even Jewish. And he pushed back when she said she wanted something. And her faith was so great, her desire to have an encounter with him was so great, that she brought something that God had planned for the future into her present. Don't tell me that you only reach Jesus on a spiritual level, because there's some physical, there's some pushing that you have to do. Even as bad as he wants you in his presence, he wants to be in your present, there's still some pushing for you to do. There's some desire. Because if you're just playing games with him, he already knows. He knows when we play games. When I play games with him, he calls me on it. But there's some pushing. There's some effort. What motivates you to encounter Jesus? What motivates you to find out more about him? I say this a lot, but it's worth saying again. And I mean it today more than I ever have. I'd give up everything I know about God to find out what I don't know. There's so much love, so much kindness. None of us are going to get to heaven. No preacher's going to stand in heaven. No evangelist is going to stand in heaven and hear the words, you told people I love them too much. Because the words in the English language, the ability that we have as humanity, even if all 8 billion of us said it at the same time, that God loves us, he would love us more than we can express. If you think 43 billion miles is big, the heart of the Father is exponentially bigger than the universe that we live in. Sometimes we have to let God stretch us and awe us. But we should never, never let someone stop us from encountering him. Amen? Let's all stand. 11:32. Man, tell you what. Sometimes I amaze even me. Sometimes I only amaze me too. So anyway. Can I tell you one more random thing before we pray? So that scripture that we found today in Psalms 25. In the last one I read you, I think it was 7. So I woke up this week one night. And I wake up a lot of nights and I see the time and it says 2:57. And you know what I always think about, because I read Outdoor Life as a kid, I think about a 257 Weatherby rifle that I would never want and never could afford when I would want a rifle. But God said, no, dummy, that's not what I'm waking you up for. I know he may not call you dummy, but I like it when he calls me dummy. So I looked it up. I looked up 257 first. There was a There was a scripture in Maccabees about David and his mercy, seeking the mercy of God, which is good because that's what this psalm is about. But then I looked up 25:7, and that was the scripture that came up. So when God wakes you up in the middle of the night, he might be trying to tell you something. He might show you something that you already knew. Psalms 25:3-4 are two of my favorite verses. Show me your way, God. Teach me your path. Because when you're on the road with Jesus, you need to be open to see what you can see. Go back to being a kid and go on a field trip with Jesus. And instead of just flowers and trees and mountains and oceans and waves, look for people. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, that your word, Jesus, that you are the word. That your love is greater than our universe. That you've removed our sin from us. 97 billion miles apart. That's all we can comprehend. And we can only comprehend it on paper, Lord. Father, open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful afternoon. Be blessed.